Hello and welcome to the Emmy Awards. I'm your host, Emmy Cardinale, and this is my podcast where I talk about what I've been watching or rewatching normally once a week. I've really been inconsistent so far in 2025. This is the first episode that I'm covering The Traitors. Super delayed. I'm going to do a little spiel. I'm going to do a little explanation of like why it took me so long and all of that. But if you don't care about all of the introductions, you can skip to my recap of the, like, timestamps will be in the description. Honestly, the year started out really, really stressful. I live in Los Angeles, and this is actually the first episode I'm recording since the fires. Both of the episodes that I've released this year I recorded before the fires broke out. And while I live in a part of Los Angeles that was not, like, super directly impacted by the fires, it was a very stressful time. I lost power. I did evacuate for one night. It's been really like one thing after the other, I have to be honest. Like, not to be annoying, but it did really hit me hard after the inauguration. I work for the news, so it's just been kind of constant, really, really stressful things. And I kind of like, the fires really like screwed up my schedule, my sleep schedule, I really struggled to regain functioning, and then it kind of like a bunch of political stuff was honestly very overwhelming for me personally. Some people might not relate to that. Other people might really understand where I'm coming from. And obviously I have a lot of privileges, and I'm not trying to act like I'm the most affected person in the world by this administration. There are a lot of things that will not impact me, but there are a lot of things that it is hard. It's disheartening. It's overwhelming. It's been a rough month. January was really, really difficult. February is off to a better start for me. I am determined to be more consistent with the podcast, but it just kind of like got delayed. And then every week I was like, well, I don't want to be super late. I'm recording this Wednesday night. A new episode drops at 6 p.m. my time on Thursday. Because this episode is going to be so long, I don't know if I'm going to be able to edit it before Thursday. So if I am not able to, I will simply add, like, I'm going to record this tonight and try to get it edited before, like, tomorrow afternoon. I think I should be able to because I don't have work. But if I don't manage to get it out by tomorrow evening, my plan is to just tomorrow record my thoughts on episode 7 and then get this out this weekend. So this will be the most up to date it can be, and then I'll figure out where I'm going from there. But anyways, sorry for the delays. I will be honest, it's been a rough few weeks. I honestly at the end of last year was having like a hard mental health thing, and it's just felt like every time I've kind of regained solid footing, something else has knocked me over, and I've really struggled to like get back into a solid routine of like every day, like my daily routines, my like weekly routines of like, this is when I prepare for the podcast, this is when I record, like really just fell to the wayside. And I'm determined to get back in to things and have things be a little bit more stable with this podcast. I really, going into this year, had so much hope for this podcast. It's turning 3 on Valentine's Day, and the same day that Yellow Jackets season 3 premieres, Yellow Jackets is like my favorite show. So it just felt very like kismet. I felt very hopeful. I've been working on this podcast for like 3 years, and I've really like, 3 is my lucky number. So I'm like, this is going to be a good year for the podcast. And it's been on a rocky start, but I'm determined to get back onto solid ground in every aspect of my life. But apologies for the delays. And this episode will be the most up to date for The Traitors. I think depending on how much I'm able to get done, my goal is for my next episode to be a deep dive on The Sex Lives of College Girls season 3. And then I think maybe because of the way that I've been doing this, I'll wait until there are a few more episodes of The Traitors. Or maybe if that doesn't take me too long and I don't like fall super behind, I can do that and then also do like a shorter episode just recapping the next episode of The Traitors so I can stay a bit more up to date. Besides that, I've decided I am going to be covering Yellow Jackets, but I will be doing like a deep dive at the end. And so I do not think that I really have a show that I'm going to be talking about routinely every week, just because there's so much going on. So I'm just going to kind of debrief about like my initial thoughts on all the shows I'm watching at the time, because I do have quite a lot that I'm watching and quite a lot that's coming out. I don't anticipate having a show that I'm covering week by week, because I do want to do a deep dive for Yellow Jackets, because I feel like that is the way that I feel most. Like, I personally really enjoy watching it all the way through and then rewatching it and analyzing it the second time around when I have the season as a whole. I did that for seasons 1 and 2, and I think that's what I want to continue for season 3. So I won't be doing a week by week recap of Yellow Jackets, but I will be sharing my thoughts as it comes. The Bachelor's on right now. Love is Blind season 8 comes back. I'm watching School Spirits. I've been rewatching Bones. I have a lot to talk about. So I think I'm just going to, I think the stress too of every week, I'd be like, oh damn it, if I don't record by then, by now, and get the episode out by then it'll be out of date. Like, I think I need a few weeks where I'm just kind of recapping, or like just using the podcast to talk. Like, I think I need a little bit of a break from like a week by week recapping thing. And since I don't want to do that for Yellow Jackets anyway, I think that's just what I'm going to do. I will have my Sex Lives of College Girls deep dive out soon, and then I'll just cover what's on my mind as soon as The Traitors is done. I will continue covering that until it ends. But anyways, let me just jump straight into episode 1 of The Traitors season 3. I know this is super outdated, my apologies, but really I'm gonna mostly be sharing my thoughts on everything, and I need to establish everything that's happened, so when I am doing it more so in real time, it feels better. But anyways, episode 1 was called Let Battle Commence. We open on the castle. Alan is introducing a new season. B-roll of the players. They're all in cars approaching the castle. Dolores says she doesn't think she could be a traitor. Dorinda reveals her first husband was Scottish, so she's excited to be in Scotland. Robin asks Sam about Britney Spears, because Sam is Britney Spears' ex. That's why he's here. Ian then asks him if Britney Spears likes the Housewives, and he's like, I can't reveal anything. So unserious. Bob the drag queen asks Tony who he is, and we get a background on Tony. I've never seen Survivor, so I don't know anything about Tony, but apparently he has like a reputation. Danielle Reyes asks everybody in her car who they wouldn't want to see from Survivor. And then Dylan Efron says Tony. So don't know why Dylan Efron cares about Tony, but apparently we do find out throughout the season Dylan Efron is like a fan of Survivor specifically. I don't know if he's into other reality shows, but like Survivor, he is a big fan of. Dylan then asks Danielle if there are any Big Brother players she wouldn't want to see. And she says that she got stabbed in the back by Brittany. This is like the Reindeer Games drama, which they removed Reindeer Games from Paramount Plus like 2 days before The Traitors came back. Like, I don't know, like early January, like right before The Traitors came back. It was such a missed opportunity. It's like now if people want to know the drama, they can't go back and watch it. Stupid. Anyways, they never even said Reindeer Games either. Like, you have to know the lore because they're just like Big Brother. But if you don't know that Reindeer Games happened, I mean, I guess maybe if you fell off of Big Brother, because Danielle Reyes and Brittany are both from like a different era, maybe if you like haven't watched since Big Brother like 13 or 14 or 15, you wouldn't know about Reindeer Games. So then maybe you wouldn't know. Like, maybe if you're an old school Big Brother watcher, but you haven't kept up, and then you recognize them, but they're like, oh, she stabbed me in the back on Big Brother. Like, if you've never seen any, like, if you weren't up to date on Reindeer Games, you'd be like, they were never in a season together. What's going on? Anyways, as they approach the castle, there are masked, cloaked figures. They're kind of, like, lined up. It's really creepy. Nikki and Gabby, once they've gotten out of their cars, point out Sandoval and say they aren't going to greet him. Jeremy sees Tony and says in confessionals that he got him before, broke his heart on Survivor, so they have some kind of history. But he says it's good to have somebody he knows. Carolyn is excited that Jeremy recognizes her because she's from Survivor, but like I think she's a bit more recent. So she's just excited that like these people who she watched know who she is. The Bobs meet each other. The Housewives are excited to see each other. Dylan says he feels like the underdog. Danielle and Brittany have a moment. And Danielle in confessional says she does forgive, but she won't forget. And I will say, six episodes in, there's been very little of the Brittany Danielle history that's really, it doesn't feel like it's really gotten much, like, it kind of fell to the wayside. I don't know if, because spoilers, neither as of when I'm recording this, again, if something happens in episode 7 and this isn't out by then I'll record my thoughts on episode 7 then. But like as of right now when I'm recording, I haven't seen episode 7. So as of episode 6, both Brittany and Danielle are still in the game. Maybe in one of their exits, if they do leave, like if they don't make it to the end, I don't know. But like maybe if one of them leaves, it'll be related to that. Maybe it won't. But like it kind of built the groundwork for something we haven't seen. Like nothing's come of it. Will it maybe become something? Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? Alan comes out on a horse and they're all excited. He introduces the game and tells the masked people that they can go away, except one person stays. And Alan announces that they can bring this person into the game. Somebody has to shake his hand, and then they also have to choose somebody to exile from the castle. Brittany, in confessionals, talks about how she is worried that Danielle will take revenge on her. The masked figure reveals himself, and it's Boston Rob from Survivor. And honestly, I didn't like this mechanic. I think maybe they shouldn't have revealed who it was, because I feel like then automatically everybody's like, no, I don't want to invite Boston Rob into the game, because then you're kind of responsible for Boston Rob being there. Not really, but like, you know, it's like somebody with a big reputation. Why would they want to let Boston Rob into the game, first of all? And second of all, it's like out in the public, like you have to publicly be the one to bring him in. Like, it should have been some kind of anonymous thing where you, like, they did, I guess it didn't work the same, but, like, there was a mechanic in Big Brother All Stars. It was when they did the coaches. Brittany was actually on that season. At some point, they could press a button and the coaches could decide if they wanted to stay as coaches, or if they wanted to, like, integrate as regular house guests, so they could then be competing for the money, because before they weren't competing for the money. And you pressed the button anonymously. Like you would know if somebody pressed the button, but you wouldn't know who pressed the button or if multiple people pressed the button. I feel like it should have been something like that. And then like the first person it's hard, but I don't know. It felt a little bit anticlimactic. It's like you just go up and shake his hand and nothing came of it. Like nobody shook his hand. So I think they could have done that a little bit better if they do this in the future. That's my note to the traitors. Carolyn debates exiling Tony, but she doesn't know if it will upset Tony. Like, again, there's like all these things where it's like, I don't know. Danielle in confessional says she wanted to do it to Brittany, but she doesn't need Boston Rob in the game. Like, again, all of these are little indications of how this was a flawed thing that they did, in my opinion. No one takes the offer. It was badly executed, so like, I can't blame them. The group then explores the castle. They mingle, they get to know each other. Ayan and Wells begin to bond. She's so funny. I'd never seen her before, but I was like living for her. Tony tells everyone he wants to be faithful and nobody believes him. Carolyn even tells him this to his face, and he says in confessionals that she could be a liability. Wells in confessionals is like, Survivor people are ruthless. I work on a beach. Gabby has a funny moment where they ask where she's from, like what show, and she says The Bachelorette, and they say, how did it end? And she's like, I'm a lesbian now. Very funny. Tom Sandoval sees his picture on the memory wall and says he looks like an inmate. It was very funny. It was giving Jen on that seat on season 8 of Big Brother. If you know, you know. Except, you know what? He didn't cry. Ivar introduces himself. He's the first gay royal. Apparently, he, like, is a royal. He was married to a woman for many years, divorced. And then when he married a man, it was big news because he's a royal. So that's all I know about Ivar. I do think it's really funny that like, not all, because Britney Spears' ex was not on a show. And so, like, he kind of is there just by being, like, a known person. But, like, a lot of the non-reality TV people are, like, some kind of politician or, like, royals. Like, that's, like, last season it was literally somebody from Parliament. Like, it's so odd. It's like, imagine Joe Biden is on The Traitors. I actually did see somebody say that as a joke, because he just signed to CAA, and somebody was like, The Traitors, season 4. Anyways, we see brief moments of people's interviews with Alan before they get to the round table where he selects the traitors. We see them like walking up and preparing at the round table intercut with these interviews. Carolyn says she wants to be a traitor. What does she have to do? Beg. And then we see Tony begging to be a traitor, like immediately cut in between. Sandoval says he doesn't think he could do well as a traitor. And it was really funny because Alan is like, what, would you feel betrayed? Doesn't feel good, does it? Or something like that, which was funny. At the round table where Alan selects the traitors, Danielle is the first selected. I was excited, but also scared because Big Brother players who are iconic and I like love, honestly, it's mostly Dan because I think he was the first Big Brother player to be a traitor. Obviously, Cerie was a traitor, but she was a traitor before she was on Big Brother and she's from Survivor. Like she did really well and then she was also on Big Brother, obviously, but she's not like a Big Brother player who went into the traitors. Like Big Brother, like the one Big Brother legend who was a traitor, like people really clowned on him. And Danielle Reyes is like such an iconic figure in Big Brother history that I was like, I just don't need people clowning on her. So I was a little bit anxious because I was like, but I'll get into my thoughts on Danielle as a traitor because I have many throughout everything. And then I'll conclude on how I feel about everything at the end. Anyways, next traitor who is chosen is Carolyn. She's a stranger to me, so I had no thoughts, but she was happy, so I was happy for her. Carolyn's really grown on me. I really like Carolyn. And then the last traitor chosen is Bob the drag queen, and I was also excited. But also, I was a little bit annoyed. Maybe not annoyed, but it's like, this is the third season of the show. It's only the second one with an all celebrity cast, so maybe like really only the second season of like this format completely. But why is a bachelor person never chosen to be like the like a traitor at the beginning? It's never a bachelor person. Like, I'm sorry, I would literally, when they do finally have a bachelor person who's a traitor from the beginning, like nobody's gonna suspect them. Like there's a lot of in the roundtables talks of like, well, this person's ruthless from their show, so they're like, nobody would have suspected Wells Adams. Actually, that's not true. They did suspect Wells Adams, but like Gabby Windy, I don't think would have been suspected. There's just like what they never give them a chance. Anyways, once the blindfolds come off, the typical assessing everyone happens. Sandoval is super unserious. Tony thinks he needs to start pointing fingers so people believe he's a faithful. Sandoval begins accusing Chriselle. Tony agrees with him because again, he wants to throw the scent off of himself. Dylan thinks it's too early to be throwing out names. Bob the drag queen asks Jeremy about Carolyn because of her, like, she's kind of a little bit, like, kooky, erratic. I don't know. I'm not trying to insult her, but I do think she says that later, that, like, being kind of all over the place helps her because nobody's gonna suspect that she's a traitor. Jeremy doesn't think Carolyn's a traitor. Sandoval tells Carolyn if he didn't get to know her before, he'd question her, but she's always twitchy, so it doesn't seem suspicious. Again, like, I think, anyways, Dylan tells Chriselle that Tom is accusing her, and she thinks it's because she's friends with Ariana, Tom's ex, if you do not know the Vanderpump Rules lore. The first mission is a classic. They always do something at the lock and setting something on fire. The players need to be sacrificed for fuel at each. There are a bunch of steps. Anyways, the first to step off are Robin and Ian. Mostly women step off, and that becomes an issue. Dorinda and Dolores are the next two to step off. Danielle begins to suspect that maybe Dolores is a traitor because of how, like, unstressed she seemed. Bob the drag queen says that some of the guys need to get off. It's unfair that all the women are getting off. And so he sacrifices himself. Danielle gets off too, and it's funny that there are two traitors together. Like, they should have known, but they're not clued in, like, ahead of time. But, like, if they were, it would have been suspicious. But Bob does say that he was being sincere about the fact that it was, like, stupid that only the women were getting off, but also he didn't care about being sacrificed because he's safe. Bob, H, and Sam then get off, and no one volunteers for the last one, so they complete the mission, but they get less money because two people, okay, so they don't sacrifice themselves for fuel, they sacrifice themselves for more money. Sorry, my bad. So they get less money because two people didn't sacrifice themselves at the end. Also, everybody who got off at these rafts stays behind in the rafts while everybody else goes ahead to dinner. There's lots of speculation at dinner Bob the drag queen is not on anybody's radar. Many shots of people saying that he's definitely a faithful. They all come in from the rafts. There's less food. It's very dramatic. Bob gets mad at the group and Danielle acts sad. And Sandoval super like buys Danielle getting sad. He like tries to comfort her. It's really funny. Dorinda is also upset. She's like causing tension and there's like a lot of drama surrounding Dorinda. Jeremy proposes the hypothetical because Dorinda's kind of like, we sacrificed ourselves and you guys can get the money. And Jeremy's like, but what if hypothetically somebody was a traitor and they got off? Like, should we, like, and she was like, well, that person would have an ulterior motive. And he's like, how do we know you guys don't? She's like, I don't have an ulterior motive. And it's like very, very tense. But suspicion is definitely on her. People think that she is maybe a traitor. Then everybody goes to sleep. The traitors take the oath before they go into the turret. Bob and Danielle are the first two in and they're super excited to see each other. Then they're excited to see Carolyn too. None of them think that any of them are being suspicious. And the episode ends with three new players, with it being revealed that like somebody's coming back, I think. I don't know. That might be at the beginning of episode two. Anyways, moving on to episode two. It's called Revenge is the Dish Best Served Cold. So I think it ends with Rob being back. Alan reveals to him that he will enter as a traitor and he will also enter with two players, Wes and Derek. They are both faithfuls. In the turret, then we see them figure out who to kill. Danielle and Carolyn already are butting heads because she wants to think 20 steps ahead. And Carolyn is like, that doesn't work in this game. Like their strategies are mismatched from the beginning. I think it would be interesting, and I don't know if they'd ever do this, but I think it would maybe be interesting if they like, if Alan picked like one traitor and then that one traitor, like I think obviously the traitors butting heads makes for good TV, but I wonder if there would be a way to have like one traitor and then have that traitor decide who they want to work with, because maybe then there wouldn't be so much butting heads of the traitors and they could have a cohesive strategy, because you're kind of like forced into this alliance with people who maybe think the game differently. And it like brings up a lot of tension, specifically in this season. It's like the traitors are all on different pages. Anyways, but we'll get into that. From the beginning, they're butting heads. They have six options to kill because those are the six that got off at the rafts. Obviously, eight people got off at the rafts, but Danielle and Bob are traitors, so they are not options. Out of the six people who got off at the rafts that they can kill, four of them are housewives. Bob and Danielle are thinking of framing Ivar through Dorinda because Ivar and Dorinda had a bit of a spat. But Carolyn disagrees. She suggests Robin. She doesn't think that Dorinda, that they should kill Dorinda. Robin could be killed to frame Dorinda then, because Dorinda has suspicion on her, which I do agree with Carolyn's suggestion in this case more than, because Dorinda could have been a good shield. Like there was no reason to kill Dorinda, but anyways. Going into breakfast, it's between Dorinda, Dolores, and Robin. At breakfast, Chriselle, Gabby, Tony, and Jeremy are the first four in and they discuss the drama with Dorinda. Dorinda's name comes up as a traitor, proving Carolyn's point in the edit, at least. Who knows how, like, I don't know. Part of me is like, because you know what's interesting to me is, not to like jump too far ahead, but it feels like a lot of the build up of this season so far is like, the edit makes it seem like Danielle's really flopping as a traitor and making a lot of mistakes. But interestingly enough, and like there are a lot of things that she does that I disagree with, but interestingly enough, they have like, they post people's reactions, not in the episode, it's like extra clips of those who have been murdered finding out who the traitors are, and like overwhelmingly people are not suspecting Danielle. So even though as a viewer it feels like she's making a lot of mistakes, interestingly enough very few people are actually suspicious of her. But anyways, Nikki, Gabby, and Chriselle are aligned. Sandoval at breakfast suggests that a housewife would kill a housewife to throw people off her scent. Wells and Ian are friends slash aligned. He says in confessionals that he likes that she talks a lot because that way he won't talk as much, which I thought was funny. The last to come in are Dolores and Robin. So Dorinda got murdered, RIP. We get a flashback to the turret where Carolyn is disagreeing about killing Dorinda, but she ends up caving. We see Dorinda get her death notice, very sad. Ivar is an immediate suspect. Robin, however, suspects Wells. Danielle tells Dylan that she thinks it's Robin. He says in confessionals that he really trusts Danielle because they're both Aquarius. Which is funny. It is Aquarius season, so. My cat, Ernesto, is an Aquarius. It was just his birthday a few days ago, so. You know what, Dylan? I like that about you. And Danielle. Wes says the move is dumb. In, like, a group of people, Wes says that the move to kill Dorinda was dumb. And Robin disagrees. And he's now suspicious of her. She's now suspicious of him. He's right, though. It was a stupid move, but who cares? The challenge involves them unlocking new players. It's kind of a boring one. But anyways, they get to the woods. The three players are, like, hung in cages. And they have to, like, get coins. And each, like, the coins lower them and also build up the prize pot. And each person has a shield. So you can choose who to put your coins into to maybe appeal to them to give you a shield. It is what it is. Everybody in the confessionals is like, the people putting their coins in my thing is not impacting my decision to give shields at all. So it's lots of people sucking up to try to get the shields, but it's really like, it really doesn't get anywhere. Bob tells Rob to throw away his backwards baseball cap. Wells wants to align with Wes. Ian asks Wes if he's on TikTok because she clearly doesn't recognize him, which I thought was funny. Rob is the first down, then Derek, and then Wes is last, right at the last second, because the timers, magically, it's always right at the last second. The timer's bullshit, if you didn't know, fun fact. They also don't sleep in the castle. They will give their shields out after the round table, and also the three new people can't be banished or murdered, but they also can't vote, so they're just kind of like spectators there for the first day. Sandoval gives a tour. He says he feels good about Bob the drag queen and Carolyn. He suspects Chriselle and Jeremy. They're not really buying what he's selling, though. Like, Wes is like, he's spewing propaganda. Like, Sandoval is really not. Nobody buys into Sandoval's stocks. Danielle is not excited for Boston Rob to be in the house, and she wants to kill him right away. Danielle then tells Derek she needs a shield because she thinks she'll be murdered in order to frame Brittany. And they're clearly, like, aligned. They're, like, friendly. And he's like, I got you. You got me. Doesn't give her the shield right now. But they both trust each other. Jeremy and Bob the drag queen suspect Wells. Well, specifically Jeremy. Bob the drag queen knows it's not Wells. But, like, he feeds into to Jeremy's suspicion of Wells. Wells and Dylan talk about Robin being suspicious earlier. At the round table, Bob the drag queen accuses Wells first. Bob H disagrees with this. Robin does think that he's suspicious and brings up the conversation from earlier. And he's like, actually, that made you seem suspicious. Why were you defensive of the traitor's move? I don't know. Then Sandoval accuses Chriselle. Very unserious. Ivar's name comes up in regards to Dorinda being murdered. Danielle really thinks a housewife is a traitor. She says Robin and Dolores specifically, but more so Robin. Dylan then says Robin is a housewife he doesn't trust. Jumping on the boat comes up again. The votes in order. Nikki votes for Ian. Sam votes for Wells. Ivar votes for Dolores. Ian votes for Tony. Bob H votes for Ivar. Dolores votes for Ivar. Wells votes for Robin. Danielle votes for Robin. Gabby votes for Robin. Jeremy votes for Wells. Sandoval votes for Jeremy. Chriselle votes for Sandoval. Tony votes for Wells. Bob the drag queen votes for Ivar. Robin votes for Wells. Brittany votes for Jeremy. Sierra votes for Ivar. Dylan votes for Robin. Carolyn is the last vote and she voted for Wells, so he is banished. RIP. He reveals that he's a faithful. Ian cries for Wells. I was really sad, but I'm really glad because I think this is the first season where we've had two Bachelor people, because season one, we had Ari Leyendijk Jr. Season two, we had Pilot Pete. I think this is the first season that we have two people from Bachelor Nation. So at least he wasn't like my one shining hope for the Bachelor franchise. But alas, let me move on. Dylan says that somebody put suspicion on Wells, and since he doesn't think it's Robin, it has to be Bob the Drag Queen. So he is now in the Bob the Drag Queen is a traitor train. Wes and Rob talk about their shields. Wes says that he was going to give his to Wells, which is so sad. He would have lived through the night. Rob gives Tony his shield. Derek gives Dylan his shield. And Wes gives Jeremy his shield. So those are the three people that are safe. Tony, Dylan, and Jeremy. Bob the Drag Queen in the turret says that he's worried because he thinks the new guys are coming in and they're going to take over, and that they're specifically going to come for him. And then Boston Rob enters the turret, and that's how episode 2 ends. Episode 3, Nail in a Coffin. No one is happy to have Boston Rob as a traitor, but Danielle lies and pretends. Boston Rob is also not happy with his teammates and the people he got stuck with. And that's why I was saying earlier that I wonder if there could be a method where they could, like, have a more solid team as the traitors. Obviously, it causes drama and it makes for good TV. But, like, as a game, it is a little bit frustrating to watch when it feels like everybody's playing a different game. Like, it's very much two separate games in, like, the Faithfuls versus the traitors. Like, they're very different dynamics and game styles that you can have depending on your role. But I think it's, like, difficult when everybody's playing a different strategic game as a traitor, but you're supposed to be a team. Like, I think there would be it makes for better TV this way. But, like, in terms of, like, gameplay and watching it as a game, I would enjoy it more game-wise if there was a bit more cohesion. But I also understand that, like, at the end of the day, the main thing that drives this show is all the personalities and, like, the drama and that. So I understand why they do this, but it's, like, it would be so much more compelling if they had, like, a more united front. I don't know. They know the three people with the shields because Rob knows who he gave his to. Derek told Danielle who he gave his shield to, and Wes told Rob, so they all know who's safe. Bob wants Dolores or Tom murdered. Then Ian's name comes up. Danielle and Carolyn are hesitant about targeting the housewives again. Sandoval also comes up. It's between Tom, Ian, and Dolores going into breakfast. Rob, Wes, and Derek come in first because they were completely safe. Derek thinks that more likely than not, one of them is a traitor. So he's keeping his eye out on who that may be because he knows it's not him. In the edit, I feel like Danielle was overacting. Like, they're like, every time they pan to her, it seems like she's crying. And it's like, does this seem believable? But I also wonder, it's like, I don't know. It's easier as a viewer with, like, all of the information to be like, that seems off. But I don't know, because they're really buying her performance. Maybe she wasn't doing that bad. Rob thinks Danielle is talking too much, though. He says so in confessionals. Tony doesn't want it to be Ian who was murdered because he thinks he'll be framed. Unfortunately, it was Ian, and I was really devastated. Dolores says that it's the housewife hunters, which was funny. R.A.P. Ian, I'll be missed. They took her best friend and then they murdered her. It's sick and twisted. We didn't get to see all of her outfits. Gone but never forgotten. Carolyn feels upset because she didn't want to kill Ian. She's worried about how she's coming across. Then Jeremy tells her that he suspects Danielle. Jeremy's on it from the beginning. Like, he is in tune with Danielle for some... Like, I don't know what it is about him, but he saw it. Robin thinks that Tony killed Ian. She tells Wes this. Robin is routinely very off track with her reads and her guesses. Like, she does not know what's going on with Peace and Love. Tony says that they're... I wrote this down verbatim because I thought it was funny. They're just using preconceived notions of how I was on Survivor. That's a big misconception. That is judging a book by its cover. And the cover is wrong because the contents in the book is a beautiful story. I loved that quote. Dylan thinks it's Bob the Drag Queen. He's still on the Bob the Drag Queen train. I hated the challenge in this episode. It was really boring. They have to, like, they automatically are paired up based on who they were standing next to when they reached the point of, like, where they were doing the challenge. It was like they go through doors and you have to choose a door every time, and you can describe what the doors look like so the people who come in after you can know which door is, like, the right door or which door is the wrong door so they can narrow it down to the right door. I don't even know. It was really boring. They kept getting eliminated really fast. At the end, Sierra and Wes were the last pair to go in, and they got all the way to, like, the last door choice, and they chose the wrong door at the end, and they lost all the money and nobody got anything. It was really not interesting to watch, and then the end, it ended with nothing. So not a big fan of that competition, if I'm being honest. Jeremy really suspects Danielle. Bob tells Danielle this because they are aligned. In this episode, also, the name of the Bambies Alliance is established. Like, before we knew that they were friends, but now they're like, we call ourselves the Bambies, which I loved. Hashtag branding. Also, like I don't know if they will, but they could make great merch of, like, Bambi look, like, that would be so cute. Anyways, also, the Bambies think that Tony is guilty. Jeremy feels like Dylan is being shady because he's coming after Bob the drag queen. And Jeremy tells Bob the drag queen this. Brittany confirms it, that Dylan is coming after Bob the drag queen. At the round table, Dylan starts first. He brings up Bob and Robin. Bob and Robin immediately push back. They're like, Robin's like, if you want to get a traitor, you're missing the mark. Like, we are not, like, you're barking up the wrong tree. They push back automatically. Bob basically tells Dylan it's not adding up. At this point, it's only, like, the second roundtable. They don't have much evidence. It's just kind of, like, a vibes thing. So, like, as much as he's trying to argue that it's Bob the drag queen, like, the only thing he has right now is that Bob the drag queen is a big personality. Like, it really doesn't get anywhere. And a lot of people don't think he's suspicious. So it doesn't really get very far. Gabby doesn't think Bob the drag queen is a traitor. She then flips it to Tony and brings up Tony, and that Tony threw out Bob H's name. So then that becomes addressed. Bob H throws it back on Tony. They kind of argue a bit, and he's like, I think you're a traitor. Jeremy says that knowing Tony, he doesn't think that Tony is a traitor. Robin then says Tony would be a good traitor because of, like, his personality and the way he can, like, dominate. It would make sense that she was like, when Alan picks a traitor, he picks somebody who can do X, Y, and Z, and he fits all of those criteria, so it makes sense. And then Dylan is like, everything you just described also describes Bob the drag queen, so which I thought was funny. Then Bob calls Dylan misguided, which was funny. And then Rob chimes in, and he mentions that he gave Tony his shield, and that he felt like after that, Tony was a little bit sus, if you will, because he didn't follow up at all. He didn't follow up. Like, he gave Tony his shield, and then he was like, and Tony never followed up or, like, really engaged with me at all. So that definitely, he's like, I'm not saying you're a traitor, but, like, it's a little weird. Then the votes. Jeremy votes for Tom. Derek votes for Tony. Sandoval votes for Tony. Chriselle votes for Tony. Tony votes for Bob H. Bob the drag queen votes for Ivar. Super random. Robin votes for Tony. Brittany votes for Tony. Sierra votes for Tony. Dylan votes Bob the drag queen. He's not letting it go. Carolyn votes for Tony. Wes votes for Ivar. Nikki votes for Tony. Sam votes for Tony. Ivar votes for Robin. Rob votes for Tony. Bob H votes for Tony. Dolores votes for Tony. Danielle votes for Tony. Gabby votes for Tony. Tony is banished. As he's leaving, he reveals that he's a faithful, and he also calls Rob a sellout, which was funny. And a lot of them after, like, that was loaded. Like, they, like, that wasn't just about this. Like, it seems like there's some kind of emotion there. Derek says in confessionals that he has to keep his eye on Rob. Like, this is kind of, you know, it's as much as I'm mad at myself for, like, taking so long to, like, get this recorded and stuff, it is really fascinating to, like, after like being all caught up in rewatching everything, like to see the little things that were planted that then, like, I didn't remember that, like, from the beginning, Carolyn and Danielle had completely, like, from the second episode, the first time they're in the turret, their strategies are completely, because they don't totally argue on who to murder at the beginning, but they definitely, like, Danielle said, you want to think 20 steps ahead, and Carolyn's like, that's not how this works. Like, from the beginning, there's, like, it's a house divided in a way that I didn't really remember. Anyways, so it's fun watching this back and having things, like, Derek being suspicious of Rob is something that comes up in many episodes going forward. So it's, like, it's nice to see the little seeds planted and, like, have things be consistent. Like, I think it's just really well edited where all these little things are, like, still coming up, and they're, like, little, they're building the narrative in a really good way. I just, like, I'm enjoying that. Anyways. The traitors get, like, little notes, and they find out that there will be no meeting at the turret. They have to write a short list and put it in the wine cellar, and then of three people. And then those three people will be put in coffins, and later in the evening they will put a nail in the coffin of the person that they want to murder. So they, like, go into the wine cellar all together. Danielle really wants Jeremy. Bob really wants Carolyn to go into the coffin because it's allowed, it's any three people, so it can be as many, like, it could be two traitors and one faithful that you know you want to kill. Why you would do that, I don't really know, but, like, Bob wants Carolyn because he thinks that it would be good to, like I don't know why he wanted Carolyn, because he thinks that it would, like, I don't know, I don't see any reason to have a traitor go into the coffin. Because they know that a traitor could possibly be in the coffin. So then they're going to be thinking, oh, a traitor would definitely put themselves in the coffin. So we wouldn't think that they were a traitor. Like, I don't think that it really helps you at all. So I don't know. But Bob wants Carolyn. Danielle is like, she's not going to do that. Carolyn's the last one to join this little group. And Rob doesn't think they should put a traitor at all. And I agree with him. Carolyn, when she comes in, says she does not want to do it. So the episode ends on the cliffhanger of Gabby walking into the room right next to the wine cellar. And it's like a cliffhanger of if she saw them, if they saw her or not. And that's how episode 3 ends, which was the last episode of the 3-episode first drop. So it ended on a really good spot. Episode 4 is called I Will Bury You Under the Sand. So Gabby, we find out, did hear Danielle coming out of the bookcase. But then Dylan walks into the wine cellar later. Danielle follows him. A few people walk into the wine cellar, which is important to note for later. Alan calls them outside and tells them that the traitors shortlisted three players in plain sight tonight. Any three players, traitors included, will be going into the coffin, and one will be murdered later tonight. Those shortlisted are Jeremy, Nikki, and Sierra. Jeremy correctly thinks Danielle is the one who put him there because he knows that she's a traitor. They each say something before the coffins close. Sierra says she wants to hunt the traitors down. Nikki says she wants to help grow the prize pot. Jeremy says, I'll work with you, basically, to the traitors, which I thought was really bold. Chriselle really doesn't want Nikki to be killed because that'll be the end of the Bambies. Like, at breakfast, she's like, I just hope it's not Nikki. Robin says if Sierra walks in, she'll be shocked because after last night, she's convinced Jeremy and Nikki have been traitors this entire time. Like, she is so far off. And the thing is, I cannot fault a single person, a single faithful, for, like, having no clue what's going on, because you have a lot less information than the traders do. I just think if I was playing this game and I had no idea what was going on, I wouldn't so confidently keep saying things about people. Like, I would not be like, I'm sure they've been traders this entire time. Like, you're actually not sure. And you haven't been, like, correct about everybody. I don't know. It's like a little, like, I would never, it's like, this is like one hint that maybe they're suspicious to you because they were in the coffin and now you were convinced that they were traitors the whole time. It's like, with what data? You know what I mean? So it's like, it's just a little silly to me. But Gabby disagrees about Nikki being a traitor. Gabby then tells the group that she came in with, which was Robin, Dolores, and Chriselle, about hearing Danielle in the wine cellar. So this is like, you know, a big deal, right? It, honestly, I have to say, not to jump ahead, but like literally I'm going to speak about it in like 2 minutes, maybe less. Like I'm annoyed at how much of like a nothing burger this became. But anyways, we get a confessional from Carrie Lynn that she doesn't feel good about the murder. This is before we know who it was, but already I was like, okay, I think it's Jeremy then, because does she care that much about Nikki and or Sierra? Like, she has a personal connection to Jeremy. Anyways, everyone thinks at least one traitor was in a coffin, which, again, doesn't make sense to me. Like, I feel like you would think, oh, okay, they would think that we would suspect them. So, like, I don't know, but to me, I'm like, maybe it's because I don't know what the word is, but, like, I can, like, a different perspective where I'm like, that seems so obvious. But maybe when you're in it, you're like, it definitely has to be a traitor. Like, they would put themselves in there so we wouldn't think it was them. Like, maybe, I don't know. Because as a viewer, I'm like, but why? Like, why would you draw attention to yourself? If I was a traitor, I would want to, like, be the least suspicious person possible. Why would I put my name in the list of people who, like, you know what I mean? That feels weird. Anyways, moving on. Robin brings up the bookcase thing to the group, and I think this was an error. Like, they should have kept it. Maybe Gabby shouldn't have told them, but the fact that Robin was like, we should bring this up now, it's like, no, you use that. You store that in your brain, and you use that later as data if multiple things add up about Danielle. Like, this would have been... Danielle has a few, like, blunders, overacting, overspeaking. She makes some mistakes later. This would be... And again, it's so much easier for me to say this as a viewer who has all the information and knows she's a traitor. But, like, if I was suspicious of Danielle at all, I would be building, or, like, anybody I was suspicious of, I would be building a mental list of all of the, like, suspicious things they do. So then if we got to a roundtable, I could build a case. Because a few episodes in, you could build a case and be like, this thing Danielle did was wrong, this thing she did was wrong, and I heard her coming out of the bookcase on the night that they shortlisted somebody in plain sight. Like, they revealed it out in the open to the group, and then they squashed it immediately in a really annoying way. Like, Dylan is like, oh, I walked in there at some point, and then, like, Danielle's like, yeah, or Bob is like, yeah, I went in at some point too, like, a lot of us went in there, and Gabby's like, I guess that it's nothing, and I'm like, no, I blame Robin for this. It's like, why are you confronting them now? You build a mental note, because it's a lot harder at a round table when you're building an entire case to completely, like, disprove it, then in the moment, like, make it. You build your case. You keep a mental checklist of all the suspicious things they do. So then when you make the accusation, it lands. Maybe that's just me. Anyways. Sierra and Nikki walk in. They're the last two to walk in. R.I.P. Jeremy. I was mad. This episode came out, like, right after the fires, or, like, not long after, and I was like really mad because he's a firefighter, and I'm like, and I don't even know if he's like a, if he worked, like, I don't know where he's from. He maybe probably not even the LAFD, but I was like, not one of our first responders. It's so disrespectful. Like, I was mad. Anyways, Carolyn is really upset because she didn't want to kill him. She says in confessionals, like, she shouldn't have let Danielle do that. It was really sad. It made me sad. Nikki is looking at Danielle because of what Jeremy said about Danielle being a traitor. Tom thinks Sierra got recruited. Suspicions are definitely on her now because she was in the coffin, but I don't think anybody besides Tom thinks that she was recruited. Like, he just pulled that out of nowhere, but it was funny. Anyways, Robin and Tom could have had, like, the most, like, no idea what's going on alliance they wanted to. Like, they could have completely, it could have been like two dumb bitches telling each other exactly if they, like, paired up, because neither of them had any idea what was going on, respectfully. Wes throws Nikki's name out to Ivar and Danielle. And then in a group outside, which is Derek, Nikki, Chriselle, Gabby, and Rob, Rob throws out the idea of a traitor being in the coffin. Nikki says that she thinks that they put faithfuls in there to get suspicion on them. Like, she's like, I don't know. It could also be that they only put faithfuls, so then our names come up in order to deflect from one of the traitors whose names was already out there. I think she's thinking Danielle. She's like, maybe Danielle put us in there to deflect from her because Jeremy was saying her name. I don't know. Which, you know what? If Nikki pushed a little bit more, she could have been, like, the only person who was saying Danielle's name was Jeremy, and he's gone. And now this Danielle suspicious narrative is completely gone. Like, she killed that narrative by killing him. Isn't that a little bit weird? But, like, she never really pushed that much. But anyways, Dylan doesn't think Nikki is guilty. He is certain that it's Bob the drag queen. And Dolores actually agrees with him. He says this to Dolores, and Dolores agrees. But she does not want to throw it out unless she, like, knows for sure. The challenge is them building 10 statues. Like, they have to carry up pieces of these statues up the hill and build them. And each statue, all the pieces are the same, except they all have, like, the 10 statues all have heads. And each head, there are 18 heads, one for each player, and each, it has their name on it. So only 10 of them can, like, have their names up on the statues. Anyways, if the head with your name on it is on the statue, you get a shield. Sorry if I didn't explain that. People really only care about the shields. It's like the main conflict is everybody trying to get their head on the statue. I don't know all the people who got shields, because the only people I wrote down were Dylan, Dolores, Bob H, Brittany, Tom, Bob, and Bob the drag queen. That's only 6. I don't know who the other 4 people were. So I'm sorry to the other 4 people whose name I didn't write down. They didn't list them. They, like, only showed, like, glimpses. And I tried to pause it, but I might have missed who all the people were. I'm sorry. After the competition, Bob the drag queen says that he thinks that, like, Alan announces the people who don't have the shield. I should have written that down, but I didn't. And then Bob the drag queen says that he thinks that one of the new guys should have had his head up there, because everybody thinks that one of them has to be a traitor. Rob is immediately pissed. He's now determined to get Bob the drag queen out because he feels like he came after him. The thing is, he did come after him in a way, but it wasn't, like, so direct where, like, do I think... Like, he made it his mission to get Bob the drag queen out. And I do think that this would be maybe something that I would, like... Again, I would collect it as data. I just don't know if right now is the moment to get Bob the drag queen out. But that's just my opinion. Was I sad about Bob the drag queen being targeted at all? Yes. But anyways, Rob is pissed. He's determined to go after Bob the drag queen. He goes immediately after he tells... Like, as they're leaving the mountainside where they just built these statues, he tells Wes... Yo, we have to kill Bob the drag queen. Like, he's coming for us. When they get back to the castle, Rob goes to Dylan because he knows he can't do it directly. Like, he can't bring up Bob's name directly because then Carolyn and Danielle will be mad at him. So he's trying to rally the vote so other people can do it for him. Wes tells Sierra that she should go towards Nikki because the votes may be split. He's really set on it being Nikki, Wes is. So he's like, Sierra, I think it's going to be between you and Nikki. I would vote Nikki if I was you, because you don't want to split the vote too much and then have your, like, you don't want to go home because of, like, stray votes. Anyways, Rob tells Chriselle about his suspicions about Bob the drag queen. Then Derek tells Nikki that Bob the drag queen is who, like, the most... prominent name that's been coming up. Rob tells Carolyn and Danielle that Bob's name is out there and that it's happening with or without them. And Danielle refuses. She says, no, we can still flip it. Like, no, he's not going home. Then after Danielle leaves, Carolyn and Rob have, like, a conversation where he's like, look, I got you, but, like, we have, like, we're doing this. Like, we're getting it. And she is not, like, super down, but he does seem to try to appeal to her alone. Wes starts at the round table. He accuses Nikki. Chriselle and Gabby defend Nikki. Derek says that Sierra did not plea for her life. Like, did not. They all, like, pled. They all, like, begged for their lives before the coffin closed. And he felt like Sierra didn't do that. And that seemed suspicious to him. I don't even know. Bob says that this is all a distraction. And that there's one person who's been, like, carrying things and dominating things, and that person is Bob the drag queen. Bob swears to God he's faithful. He says everything about him that they're, like, all of the personality things that they're using to pin being a traitor on him. He's like, you can say the same thing about Rob. Throws it back on him. Then Dylan stands up for Rob, he says that Bob is an actor and he grew up with an actor, so he would know. And then Bob says, not a good one, which was a little bit rude, okay? Bob and Rob go back and forth accusing each other of being traitors. It, like, devolves into, like, a fight. Bob the drag queen is not long for this world. Dolores votes Bob the drag queen. Danielle votes Bob the drag queen. Gabby votes Sierra. Derek votes Sierra. Tom, Gabby, interestingly enough, something that I've noticed now, rewatching all the episodes and taking notes, she really, like, Derek's arguments really, like, win her over. Like, she's very, it's not uncommon for her to, like, whatever, not whatever Derek is saying. Like, it's not like she blindly follows him. But, like, his points really do convince her in a way that I appreciate. Because as much as I don't like Derek, and a lot of times he is wrong. Like, with the Sierra thing, he's wrong. But, like, he at least he tries to argue a point. Like, I don't know. I think I like the way Gabby votes. Anyways, Gabby votes for Sierra. Derek votes for Sierra. Tom votes for Nikki. Chriselle votes for Bob the drag queen. Bob the drag queen votes for Rob. Robin votes for Sierra. Brittany votes for Bob the drag queen. Sierra votes for Bob the drag queen. Dylan votes for Bob the drag queen. Carolyn votes for Bob the drag queen. Wes votes for Nikki. Nikki votes for Sierra. Sam votes for Bob the drag queen. Ivar votes Bob the drag queen. Rob votes Bob the drag queen. Bob H votes Bob the drag queen. So Bob the drag queen has been banished. May he rest in peace. He gives a funny exit speech where he says he swore to God, but that was a lie because he doesn't believe in God. I thought that was really funny. They all celebrate that they got a traitor out. And then Sam points out that Dylan called Bob out from day one and that he was on it. Dolores also congratulates Dylan, says his brother is a good actor, by the way. And then Dylan is basically like, I couldn't have done it without Rob. Like, Rob brought it up to me. I wouldn't have felt comfortable. And it is interesting to me because Rob was like, I need to convince other people so it's not me leading the charge. And then he ended up leading the charge. Danielle in confessionals says that they're stupid for thinking he's a hero when he's deceiving them. Carolyn and Danielle are both upset about the move to get Bob out. Dylan now trusts Rob, like, ride or die, whatever he says is the truth, like hardcore for Rob. And because it's like you have a level of parasocial attachment to these people. Dylan says that he has said that he's a big fan of Rob. And then on top of it, like, then they like, are right in this game and they get a traitor out and you'd like, anyways, he like fully believes him now. Dylan tells Rob that he's suspicious of Gabby and Bob H, like completely far off, but okay. And then Wes brings up to a group of people, Ivar's in the group, but I don't remember who else, that the only way to know somebody is a traitor 100% is if you are one too. And the episode ends with them like going, walking into the turret, but like they don't, no conversations, just like there's tension because they just got Bob out. So episode 5 is called All This Murder is Power. Rob at the turret, he says that he won't come for them unless they come for him. Bob came for him with a comment about the three new guys. They kind of don't really agree with his perspective on this. I'm torn because do I think that that was a threat? Yes. Do I think, like, I don't know, because I'm like, it feels like it was too soon to take the shot, but he didn't miss. He got, it worked in his favor. It just feels a little bit unnecessary. I don't know. Maybe it's because, like, maybe if it was a traitor I didn't like, I wouldn't care, but I like Bob the drag queen, so it bothered me. That's just my bias, but, like, I don't know. That's my opinion. Danielle is, like, fully mad at him, but she needs to pretend to be on his side to appease him. Carolyn disagrees with taking Bob out as well. Like, neither of them are on his side. Danielle and Carolyn suggest Sam as somebody to murder, and Rob says that he thinks they should kill Robin. Carolyn pushes back. She disagrees with this continuous targeting of the housewives. Gabby's name comes up, but Rob thinks that the Bambies aren't unified enough for that alliance to matter. They completely voted different ways at this past roundtable. He's like, they're not a threat. Going into breakfast, it's between Sam, Robin, or Gabby. At this point, I just didn't want it to be Gabby. Danielle is determined to get Rob out. Rob says in confessionals that he is aware that getting Bob out might, like, put suspicion on him, so he's ready to be confronted. Like, he's preparing to do what he would say if he was confronted. Bob H. points out when Carolyn comes in that she's, like, disheveled. And I think this is, like, a really interesting aspect of Carolyn's game where she's kind of, like, all over the place in a way that I think makes people, like, not think that she's a threat to them at all, which I think is fun. Maybe fun's not the right word. I think it's interesting. Danielle wants to get Rob out, and she wants a partner with whom she can get Rob out. So she doesn't really trust Carolyn at this point because she wants to have another traitor in the turret who she can work with in order to get Rob out. So it seems like she's like, I need a Carolyn out first so that I can get to Rob, which was confusing to me. But anyways, the last two people to walk in are Gabby and Sam, which I was happy about, not because I care about Sam. I would have preferred if they killed Sam over Robin because Robin is from Potomac and so am I. I mean, I'm not from Potomac, but I grew up in Potomac. But I love Potomac. So I would have preferred Sam die, but as long as it wasn't Gabby, I was happy. So Robin is dead. She had horrible reads, so it's like not a huge loss for the game. In the flashback, we see that Rob kind of ultimately decided that, like, Carolyn and Danielle neither were excited, but they were kind of like, okay, well, do what you want. And this is what I mean about, like, does it make good TV? Yes, but, like, it is annoying to watch as somebody who enjoys, like, the competitive aspect of these competition reality shows, that the strategy is so divided in a way that, like, really frustrates, because it's like Rob is dominating. For a while, it was like Bob the drag queen kind of pushed, and then, like, it would be just interesting if it was like a duo who was like determined to do it together in an interesting way. I don't know. Which is why I really like it when they recruit, because there's like a level of like choosing who to work with that they don't normally have. And I just feel like because they had four traders at the beginning, I don't know if they're going to recruit at all this season. And that's a little bit annoying to me. But anyways, Ivar brings up the idea of only a traitor being able to know that somebody is for sure a traitor. The Bambies are strong. Bob H jokes about joining the Bambies. Then Rob brings up Sierra and Nikki to Ivar, and Ivar tells him that Wes is coming after him. Nobody in this game is like really keeping things to themselves. Like, maybe build a little bit of ammunition, like a little bit of like stuff in the bank so you can cash in later. Like, what's with all of these people spending all their money at the beginning? It's a little bit annoying. Rob confronts Wes, and Wes denies that he started the conversation about Rob, even though he did. Wes does think that Rob is a traitor, but he's afraid to put it out there. He doesn't want to take a shot and miss, which is fair. Rob tells Carolyn that he's with her 100%. And Carolyn and Danielle then talk about Bob's exit. They're both, I don't really think anybody really, like, you know what's hard? Is that this isn't the last, like, conflict. Obviously, the next, like, episode 5 and episode 6, like, a big tension is that Danielle now wants to go after Carolyn. And, like, the thing is, do I have a lot of critiques of that? Yes, and I'll get to it. But, like, Rob literally, like, established this kind of, like, betrayal in the turret, and now they're all kind of like on edge and not really a team in a way, and that I think more than anything is why I feel like it was maybe too soon to. I also just think it's really not necessary to be the one leading the charge against somebody. I feel like that draws too much attention to you. Carolyn and Danielle talk about Bob's exit, and then Carolyn tells Danielle that Rob went to her and like said that he's got her, and Danielle is now even more concerned. She's like 100% sure that Carolyn is not somebody who's going to help her get Rob out the way that she would want. And so now she wants to throw Carolyn under the bus to get Carolyn banished first before she can then kill Rob, which is confusing logic to me, I have to be honest. And it's really annoying because it's like if they... Like, a lot of it is miscommunication, because if they sat down and they actually talked, it's like both of them are concerned about Rob and both of them were thinking of getting Rob out and didn't really like the Bob move. Like, Danielle didn't have to go after Carolyn. They could have worked together and, like, I don't know. It really did bother me. Anyways, it bothers me. What can I say? It bothers me. Rob tells Nikki that Bob, in the car ride on the way to the challenge, Rob tells Nikki that Bob the drag queen wanted to vote for her, and he admits in confessionals that this is a complete lie. The challenge is like this riddle thing. They're like at the church where they go to sometimes in the show, and Alan reads a riddle, and then the first person to jump up like picks the pot with the word that completes the riddle, and then they throw the pot, and if it's gold, that means they got it correct. If it's green, it means that they got it wrong and they're eliminated. If they get it correct, they get to stay in the competition. they bank money for the prize pot, and also you get to put a face on a wall, and the last two people whose photos are on the wall get shield. So it's like you put your face on the wall, hope nobody removes it or whatever. You know what I mean? You put whoever's photo on the wall, and the last person, whoever remains, will have a shield. So that's like the basic thing. Bob H goes first and he gets it wrong. Then Derek goes next and gets it right. He puts his photo on the wall. Tom goes next, gets it right, puts his photo on the wall. Danielle goes next and gets it right, but she chooses to put Dolores's photo on the wall and remove Derek's photo, which was a little bit odd. Automatically suspicious. Everybody's automatically going to put themselves there because they want the shield. It's a little weird, but I'll get into it. Chriselle then gets a question right. She replaces Tom's photo with hers. Then Tom is out next after getting a question wrong. Danielle then goes again, gets another question right, and once again, she decides to put somebody else's photo on the wall. She had removed Derek's photo to put Dolores's up, and Derek was not happy about this. So now she removes Chriselle's photo to put Derek's photo on the wall. And it's like doing it once maybe would be like an act of good faith of like, she was like, I just don't want the housewives to die anymore. I'm trying to protect Dolores. She also said in confessionals that Dolores really believes that she's a faithful. So like she wants to keep her around and doesn't want the other traitors to kill her. So like, I understand that. It's just like, why do it twice? So anyway, she does it twice. It's like suspicious at this point, to the point where even Dolores is like, aren't you worried that you're going to get murdered? And then Danielle like cries. This, I think, was the thing that bothered me the most about Danielle's moves, because I'm like, the fake crying, the like overacting, like to us, we can tell it's fake because it's fake and we know that she's a traitor. But it's like, maybe when you're there, she seems sincere. I don't really know. Like that, I really can't fault them for it. A lot could be editing too. Like we don't know how emotional other people are or how like suspicious other people seem, but that's the only thing they're showing us. Like there are a lot of variables for me, but like, this was just a stupid move and I didn't understand it. Sierra goes last and she gets it right and she switches Derek's photo with hers. So she and Dolores are the last two people whose photos are on the wall and they are now safe. Dolores says, and I quote, because I thought it was funny, I'm feeling very blessed. I'm feeling very loved. It's so strange how nice things can happen in this game of backstabbing and betrayal. That was beautiful. On the car ride back to the castle, Danielle tells the group in her car, which is Wes, Ivor, and Dylan, and then her, that her theory is that Sierra and Nikki are just buffers that the traitors want them to pick off first. A woman has to be a traitor, and she thinks Carolyn is a traitor. She doesn't give any, like, real reasons why Carolyn would be a traitor. If she did, they weren't included in the edit. It's just like people, like, it felt like a Tom Sandoval-esque theory where you're just like, no, they seem suspicious to me. It's like, but for what reason? Like, other people like Rob, who's been accused, even Bob the drag queen, like, there's a little bit more of, like, evidence and, like data points that you can point to and be like, this was off, this didn't add up. You don't have any of that for Carolyn, at least not in the edit. I don't know. My opinion. Allegedly. No, I'm kidding. Danielle tells Brittany that she's suspicious of Carolyn and that Carolyn said Brittany's name. She clarifies in confessionals that Carolyn did say Brittany's name, but not in terms of somebody she's suspicious of, but somebody she would murder. Chriselle tells Rob that she's suspicious of Nikki because her reaction to hearing that Bob the drag queen threw her name out seemed disingenuous. So Chriselle is turning on the Bambi. She goes to Rob and she's like, that seemed weird to me. Wes is still on the Nikki is a traitor train. That is his mission. Derek is suspicious of Rob, but he's riding on Sierra. I don't think he wants to make many waves. He's like, I'm just gonna go for Sierra. Then Gabby pushes back on the idea of Nikki being a traitor. At dinner, she's like, if the coffin theory is an issue, like, why wouldn't Sierra be just as suspicious? Like, this is bullshit, yada, yada, yada. At the round table, Ivor starts by saying that there are three names that have come up, Nikki, Sierra, and Rob. Rob defends himself, like, pretty decently And the heat isn't really on him during this round table. It kind of like subsides, and there are other people that they're more suspicious of. His defense isn't very long because the attacks on him aren't very long. Sierra defends herself, and then she goes after Nikki. She thinks Nikki is a traitor, says Nikki. Her argument is that Nikki doesn't have too much of a reaction. She's like always the same. She doesn't really react to things, and so that's suspicious to her, which I thought was interesting. Chrishell speaks up. She's like really hesitant. She's really emotional. She says that this is really hard for her, but she is suspicious of Nikki. She felt like her energy shift after Bob the Drag Queen went home. There's like a shift that Chrishell notices, and she cannot shake the feeling that Nikki is a traitor. So Nikki doesn't defend herself super well. She's just like, I'm not a traitor. She doesn't argue why it would be maybe stupid for a traitor to put themselves in the coffin. Like, she doesn't really push back on that. She's just like, look, I'm not a traitor. Like, you're stupid for thinking I'm one, basically. Like, she doesn't say that, but it's like there's no real arguments. It's just kind of like she knows she isn't one. So she's like, obviously, I'm not a traitor. Bob H. very astutely says, before they wrap up the speaking at the round table, that it would be a dominant move for Rob to come in as a traitor and take out Bob the Drag Queen as another traitor. He's like, he very astutely says that, which, you know, true. Votes go, Derek votes for Nikki, Tom votes for Nikki, Chrishell votes for Nikki, Brittany votes for Nikki, Sierra votes for Nikki, Dylan votes for Gabby, which was super random. Like, if you're gonna throw out a random, like a throwaway vote, at least vote for Tom Sandoval. Carolyn votes for Nikki, Wes votes for Nikki, Nikki votes for Sierra, Sam votes for Nikki, Ivor votes for Nikki, Rob votes for Nikki, Bob votes for Nikki, Dolores votes for Nikki, Danielle votes for Nikki, Gabby votes for Nikki. It's very emotional, and Nikki's banished, RIP. Her exit speech, I enjoyed. She says that everybody's born different and they shouldn't judge each other, and she's the real winner because she gets to go home to her son, but they're all losers because she's a faithful. I don't know if she said losers, but Chrishell and Gabby are very upset about this exit, which is very, very valid. Chrishell specifically feels really guilty because she feels like she put the nail in the coffin. No pun intended. Derek tells Wes that he is sure that Rob is a traitor. Then we see Dylan tell Carolyn that Danielle threw her name out there. And the episode ends on the cliffhanger of the turret. Once again, there's going to be tension. Carolyn is mad at Danielle because Dylan just told her that she threw her name out there. Episode 6 is called A Dysfunctional Family. We open with the turret. Carolyn confronts Danielle. They argue. Carolyn is mad at both Rob and Danielle. Danielle says she'll make it right tomorrow. They should start over, etc. Wes's name is brought up, but they're a little bit hesitant. Rob specifically is a little bit hesitant. Bob H is the other name that comes up because he went after Rob, and then Ivar is the third name. Before they leave the turret, Rob and Danielle apologize to Carolyn. It seems like they're trying to be a united front. They're trying. How long does it last? We'll get into it. Derek floats the idea at breakfast about Rob dying. Like, he's like, Rob definitely has to be murdered, right? Like, there's no way they didn't murder him. And Sierra says, what if Rob is a traitor and getting Bob out was like a bold move? A lot of them are very smart in being like, if Rob is a traitor, he would kill Bob for X, Y, and Z reason. Like, they're good at thinking of like what Rob would do as a traitor. Like, they have a lot of his motivations like really well thought out, in my opinion. Derek says in confessionals that if Rob walks in, his eyes will be on him because he should be dead. Danielle, Wes, and Ivor are the last to walk in, which means Bob H. was murdered. We get a flashback to the turret. Rob says that killing Wes would put focus on him and Derek because then people know automatically that Wes is a faithful. So people will maybe start to think that either Derek or Rob are traitors. So he doesn't want to kill Wes. Danielle in confessional says she's letting Rob have the power to stay safe. So like it. Again, it feels like it's kind of just one person making all the decisions in a way that really is frustrating strategically where it'd be next if they were a united front. I don't even know. Like, I think something interesting about, like, I don't know about every other show, okay? The main competition reality show I watch is Big Brother. And while, yes, you are in alliances, and there have been in the past moments where you're, like, a group, on the whole, if you have the power of veto, if you have, you know what I mean? A lot of it is, like, individual, head of household. You yourself nominate who you want to be up for eviction. It's a very, there's a lot of agency and, like, here, it's like kind of all these individual people with different strategies trying to push up against each other, and it's like not working. It ends up only being one person's, like, Carolyn's opinion of, like, they shouldn't have killed the housewives completely fell to the wayside. Now it's Rob dominating because, like, it's just, it makes it a little bit strategically annoying to watch, in my opinion. Great TV, strategically as a game, it's a little bit annoying. Wes at breakfast says he's back at square one. Sandoval says that he doesn't know why he's there. And Gabby's like, please, you know why you're here. It's because you caused chaos and you have no idea what's going on. And he's like, I have some good theories. It was really funny. Sandoval then, after breakfast, tells Brittany, he pulls Brittany and tells her that he thinks Dolores is a traitor. And she's like, I don't think Dolores is a traitor. And he's like, no, 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 you can't say that, okay? You don't know. It's literally so unserious. Derek tells Wes that they need to pull the trigger on Rob. He is sure that Rob is a traitor. Brittany tells Carolyn that her name was thrown out, and Carolyn knows that it was Danielle. Like, she knows that Danielle, because Brittany's like, I heard that you said my name. And she's like, I didn't say your name. Who said that? And she, like, automatically knows that it was Danielle who told Brittany that Carolyn was throwing her name out there. And she's mad. She's, like, pissed. The challenge involves them having to, like, blow up a giant traitor. So they have to collect gunpowder in order to do it. And it's, like, at these crates. And then there are specific crates throughout the woods that have shields. So they all go, and they're in groups. So they all go to the shield one first, and then they move on to the gunpowder crate thingies. There are multiple groups. Only one is traitor free. There's three groups, and one of the groups has two traitors, the other one has the remaining one, and then the last group doesn't have any traitors. Carolyn's group, which involves Carolyn, Danielle, Gabby, Tom, and Ivar, she immediately grabs the shield. They have to answer a question to open the chest, and then from there they get the shield or the gunpowder later, once they've all done the shields. They prioritize the shields first. As soon as they open the chest, Carolyn grabs the shield immediately. And they're all kind of upset. Like, Tom specifically is like, couldn't we discuss this? Blah, 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 blah. And Danielle's like, we don't tell anybody who has a shield, we'll all be safe. Which is funny because there are two traitors in this group, so you're wrong. But anyways, Dylan's group does rock, paper, scissors for it, and he wins. Dylan's group involved is him, Rob, Sierra, and Wes are in his group. And then Chriselle, Derek, Brittany, Dolores, and Sam are in the last group. And Chriselle and Derek do rock, paper, scissors for the shield. She wins. This is the only group without a traitor. So even though Derek is upset that Chriselle got the shield and he didn't, if they don't tell anybody, they should hopefully be safe, because it would be stupid to kill anybody from the one group they don't have intel on. Like, they have intel on the majority of the people. I would just stay away from these people that they don't know who has a shield. So hopefully they'll all be safe. But anyways, once they've gotten the shields, they collect the gunpowder. While they are doing this, Carolyn and Gabby talk very briefly, and Carolyn tells Gabby that she's heard that her name is out there, and Gabby confirms that Danielle has been saying her name. They do collect enough gunpowder to blow up the giant traitor. Congrats to them. I don't care about the challenges that much. Carolyn at this point is fully pissed at Danielle. Like, she's pissed. Wes tells Dolores that Sandoval floated her name, and it's like such a nothing burger. Like, nobody takes Sandoval seriously, and it's really funny. Derek tells Ivar that something that he said at the round table the night before has, like, really stuck with him, and he's gonna bring it up again. And Ivar's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I think he was serious. I think he didn't know what he was talking about, but he obviously meant that Rob is suspicious. Rob, however, is throwing Wes's name out there. Carolyn tells Dolores that Danielle is throwing her name out there, throwing Carolyn's name out there. She's trying to plant seeds against Danielle the way Danielle tried to plant seeds against her. Everybody's planting seeds against each other. Wes is pushing Rob's name. He mentions this in a group where Brittany is, and he mentions like that Derek is gonna lead the charge on the Rob thing. And Brittany immediately is like, that's weird. And so she goes up to Derek and he's like, that's not a lie, but like, yes, it's a name out there. Like, I'm not spearheading anything. It's just like, that is a name out there. So he gives kind of a non-answer, but he doesn't like straight up lie the way Wes did earlier, you know, when Boston Rob was like, you threw my name out there. And he's like, no, I didn't, even though he fully did. This isn't like that same kind of thing. Anyways, Brittany confronts Derek. He begins to suspect her then too, because why is she so close to Boston Rob? Who knows? Derek tells Danielle that he's going after Boston Rob and asks her to back him up at the round table. And she's very happy. She says in confessionals, like, if he can take her out, that's great for her. If he can take Boston Rob out, that's great for her. And then she doesn't have to be the one to do it. Chrishell tells Rob that Wes is throwing his name out there. And then Chrishell leaves and there's an awkward moment between Danielle and Rob where he's like, is that true? Like, have you heard my name? And she's like, I've only heard Wes's name. It's very awkward. Could it have been edited to be more awkward than it was? Maybe. At the round table, Dolores confronts Tom about throwing her name out. They discuss it back and forth a little bit, but like, it's very unserious to the point that Derek at some point is like, can I change gears? Like, that goes nowhere. It's like so unserious. Derek then, in my opinion, makes a good case against Rob. And I'm not a Derek fan, okay? I haven't given him my stand card and I don't think I will, but like, it made me dislike him less. Like, I was really on his side. Some of the notable things is like the points that I think he made well is at the round table after Rob accused Bob the drag queen, of all the names that were out there, Bob specifically went after Rob, knowing that Bob is a traitor. Throwing out another traitor's name, like, as, like, a goodbye would make sense. So that's, like, one data point. Then Bob H. was murdered, who was, like, the one person who at the round table spoke up about Rob's maybe motivation to get Bob the drag queen out. What like, really did it for him, for Derek, is, like, why would Rob not be murdered? Like, he came into breakfast. Rob then defends himself in a way that I don't think would have convinced me, but it does a good job. He's like, I also thought that I was going to die, and I came in and I was confused that me and Ivor were both there, because then it does exactly what you're trying to do by throwing the suspicion on me. Like, this is what the traitors want. They want you to waste. They don't have to kill me because you will do it for them, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. And then he's like, and there's one person I've heard many names, who's been throwing out many names, and that person is Wes. And he, like, shifts it to Wes. Wes defends himself by perfectly laying out, like, he perfectly understands the dynamic of what's happening without having all the information in a way that was so compelling to me personally. He is like, Bob mentioned the three new guys. I can imagine Bob and Rob in the turret. They're aligned, but as soon as his name was thrown out there, Rob was like, that's it, I'm cutting ties, I'm coming after you, which is literally exactly what happened. It's literally exactly what happened. He's like, they were in the turret, but as soon as, like, his name, they were aligned, but as soon as he felt like he was a risk, like, as soon as Rob felt like Bob was a threat to him, he got him out. He betrayed the traitor bond, and that's, like, exactly what happened. Like, Wes, as much as, like, I don't know anything about him from the challenge, he might be the worst person ever, I enjoyed what I watched of him this season, but, like, even just the way he was able to have that perspective of what could possibly be happening and laid out so perfectly as, like, literally exactly what happened was really impressive to me. Him and Derek, I feel like, had a good, like, bird's eye view of, like, this happened and all of these things could mean this in a way that I really appreciated. He mentions that, like, immediately after Bob throwing that comment out about the three new guys, Rob said to him that they needed to get him out, and that was weird to him. Like, I'm sorry, I would not buy the case against Wes. The Rob one feels a lot more convincing. Gabby does point out that, like, Wes is, like, aggressive, or, like, Wes has some, like, less than favorable gameplay in the way he throws names out and the way he communicates, but it's like the actual like evidence, I feel like it is so much more in, it bothers me. Anyways, Wes says he knows he's aggressive, but that would also make him a bad trader if he was super aggressive as a trader. He also kind of threatens them, and it's like horrible. Then Carolyn randomly throws Danielle's name out super unnecessarily, and that really doesn't get anywhere except them kind of arguing and Carolyn getting really upset. Like, I don't know. The votes are as follows. Dylan votes for Wes. Carolyn votes for Danielle. Wes votes for Rob. Sam votes for Wes. Ivor votes for Wes. Rob votes for Wes. Dolores votes for Tom. Danielle votes for Rob. Gabby votes for Rob. Derek votes for Rob. Tom votes for Rob. Chriselle votes for Wes. Brittany votes for Wes. Sierra votes for Wes. So Wes is banished. And I was like so mad, okay? Because if Carolyn and Danielle had talked ahead of time and they had agreed that the first moment they had, they would go after Boston Rob. If they had voted the same, like if Carolyn hadn't thrown out the vote for Danielle, like I think it would have at least been a tie. And I'm mad at the fact that they didn't vote. Like, we were so close to getting Boston Rob out and we didn't. I'm sorry. I'm sick to my stomach. His exit is funny. I liked Wes. I'm sad to see him go. Brittany and Derek talk and he questions her, like, proximity to Rob. Like, her closeness to Rob. Like, why she seems to be defending Rob. For example, at the, like, when they were writing their votes down and Dylan seemed kind of confused, she, like, mouthed, like, don't vote, you know? Like, she was trying to sway his vote in that moment. And Derek thought that that was suspicious. Derek thinks that she's a traitor, accuses her of doing that. Brittany, sorry, I'm backtracking a little bit. She pulls him aside because she wanted to be like, you told me that you weren't going to spearhead the thing against Rob, and then you were, and then he's kind of like, why are you so, it's like, yeah, I sensed you were really close to Rob, like, all of these things. So, like, that's what led to it, and then he mentions a gesturing thing, and then she's like, but why, like, I don't know, he ends up saying that he thinks she's a traitor, I don't even know. Anyways, Derek talks to Dylan about how it was suspicious that Brittany was trying to sway his vote, and he thinks that both Boston Rob and Brittany are traitors. Derek says that he thinks that he's going to be murdered so Rob can say that he was framed. We end with another angry turret conversation. Rob says he thought that they had an agreement not to go after each other. The whole thing was messed up. Danielle says her paranoia started with Bob being targeted. He defends this choice. I really think it's just, like, the execution. I think it was a little bit rushed. He decided, like, literally after that one comment, and I think he should have at least taken a night so he could have had more time where he pulled Danielle and Carolyn aside and he talked it through. I don't think he wanted to talk it through. He decided that's what he needed to do, and that was what he was going to do regardless of if it was a good decision for the team as a whole. And again, this is what I'm talking about. Everybody has their own strategies. Everybody has their own methods in a way that is really annoying to watch. Carolyn says that Danielle has been planting seeds about her. Danielle's like, that was yesterday. Carolyn's like, you even lied about me throwing Brittany's name up. And she was like, you did throw Brittany's name out in the turret. Carolyn then is like, we need to go after Danielle. Danielle's like, I'll push back. It's just setting them up against each other. And that's where the episode ends. And what I have to say, oh, okay, I remember what I wanted to say. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there for a second. Carolyn at some point is like, this is what you want. Like, you want to get rid of both of us so you can be, like, the traitor at the end, the faithful traitor. And it's like, I don't really blame Danielle if that is her strategy because it's like, Rob is not playing for the team. Carolyn, I think, wanted to play for the team and nobody was listening to her input. So she, like, has become jaded. But it's like, none of them are actively working for each other's best interests, protecting each other. I think they maybe were a little bit, but I think the introduction of, like, backstabbing a fellow traitor so suddenly, it seemed, from Danielle and Carolyn's perspective, I think really just, like, laid a foundation of trust, like, or distrust. Like, they just, I don't even know. But anyways, that's where I wrap up. Hopefully I can get this out before episode 7 drops, but if not, then I'll record my thoughts on episode 7 and this will drop Friday. But thank you so much for tuning in. My next episode should hopefully be my deep dive on the sex lives of college girls, and then I'll be back with the next episode of The Traitors, be that episode 7 or episode 8, depending on when this one goes live. So thank you so much for tuning in. It means a lot. Apologies for all the delays. I'm determined to get back on track. And thank you truly so much for tuning in. It means more than I can express. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, I forgot to mention, this is my 100th episode. So thank you so much for being here, being along for the ride for my 100th episode. It's kind of crazy. Anyways,